Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 425 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm Rachel Herron, and I am so excited that we're here today with Becca Syme talking about, oh, this was a delicious, deep, juicy conversation about really, truly waking up and realizing I'm in the wrong spot. I'm in the, or in one case that we're going to be talking about, not really realizing it, just getting there and realizing that you have been in the wrong place. You are going to love this episode. This is one of those bonus mini episodes that is coming out because of my Kickstarter, which you can find at rachelherron.com/unstuck, or just Google my name, Rachel Herron, and unstuck. And I will tell you that at recording time, we are at $13,230. And I am astounded. If you would like to support or go see what is available over there, please go do that. I would love it if you checked it out. Even if you don't pick anything up, go check it out. The video that I made was pretty fun. And yeah, enjoy that. All right, I'm going to stop babbling because I want to jump into this interview with Becca about getting unstuck. You're going to love it. Here we go. I'm so glad you're here. I could not be more pleased to have back on the show Becca Syme. Hello, Becca. Will you share your pronouns with us, please?
Yes, she, her.
Thank you. And I looked, you were on the show in 2020. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I was like, it's been a while. It's been a hot minute.
a lot of stuff.
A lot of hot happened. Minutes.
A lot of hot minutes. Yes, let me give you a quick little bio here and then we'll jump in.
Yeah.
Becca Syme is a Gallup certified strengths coach with a master's degree in transformational leadership and 14 years of experience in success. 17 years. I know this. I just wrote that out. 17 years of experience in success coaching with writers, organizations, and individuals in communication strategy, systems, and self-leadership. She teaches the popular Write Better Faster course and does strengths for writers coaching. Under R.L. Syme, she's also a USA Today bestselling author of the very fun and awesome Vanjie Vale Cozy Mystery Series. And everybody knows who you are. There's probably going to be no one listening who doesn't know who you are.
But hopefully there will be some.
It would be
weird to think that everyone knew me. I don't know why that would bother me. I'd be like, no one needs to know who I am.
that's not
the droids you're looking for.
That's a good default state to be in. But what you do is you really change lives with working with writers. And here's the reason I wanted you on the show, besides the fact that we're pals and I just think you're incredible, but you help writers get unstuck. That's your thing. You help writers get unstuck. And the book that I wrote is called Unstuck. And it's not about writing, but it's about bigger moments of unstuck. And
living.
I just want to ask you personally, this is not about business. It's not about coaching writers. But personally, when is a time in your life that you have felt stuck? And how did you get out of it? Would you share that with us? This is very personal.
I mean, weirdly, I feel like we have the same story, which is, you know, like, because I was reading about the Kickstarter and reading about the book. I haven't read the book yet. Anybody who's listening, I'm excited to read it too. But I have a feeling it'll be very similar to kind of my own story, which was like I had lived somewhere for so long that I forgot I could leave.
Yes.
Right. And it was sort of a weird experience where I had been talking about leaving for a decade. And one of my friends, when I finally left, it was a very big shock to most people that I moved. But I moved 2 years ago to where I am now in Minnesota. And the previous place I'd lived in the state on and off my whole life, right? Like, so I'd lived in Montana most of my life. And I had lived in Bozeman, the city that I lived in for all of my adult life. Like I'd only ever really lived for spates of months. Like I would live for 3 months in Calgary, and, you know, 3 months in San Diego, and, you know, eight or nine months in Portland or something like that, right? For school and stuff like that.
You even based all of the Vanjie Vale series, like your fiction was Montana based. Montana was like a character in these books.
Yep, it was. Yeah. And I I was a real sense of place person. In fact, I feel like Montana was most of my identity in one way or another. And I don't think that I realized that I needed a change until like I had some major life transitions that happened to me. I did not choose them, right? And I realized like I have been saying that I wanted to do something different for so many years and I just had never catalyzed. And I did have a couple of very specific reasons for staying, both of which kind of changed at the same time. And I thought, you know, I could just go see what else is out there. And I actually had a need to move to a hub airport because of my business. I was traveling so much. And Bozeman, well, while beautiful, is 2 flights plus from everywhere. And so I was like, there has to be a central. And weirdly, I was like, well, let's just take all of the one-stop hub airport cities and see what they're like. And I kind of did a Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and I didn't like anywhere else except where I ended up. And now and where I am, there are other reasons that I had considered moving here that are community oriented and other things, right? Like just kind of in general, it's very, the ecosystem here is very familiar. It's very similar to where I grew up. So I get the weather patterns a lot more naturally, and I feel a little more, I don't like snow very much, which people think it's so weird to move to Minnesota and be like, I don't like snow. I'm like, have you been to the mountains of Montana? It snows 9 months a year.
Does it like, really?
It snows 3 months here. Maybe 3 months. It's beautiful.
And we have 4 seasons. You have a gorgeous summer. You have a gorgeous fall.
Amazing summer. Like lake country, right? I'm like, no, this is great. But I actually, I came out here initially to do research for a book series that I was writing. And I packed up, you know, my computer and some clothes and stuff like that. And when I was leaving, I thought, you know, if I find a place out there, I may just never come back. And then I never went back.
I remember this. Yeah.
And I haven't actually been back since then. Like I had somebody else sold my house for me. They packed everything.
Yeah.
Like I never went back after that because I knew that I had been so anchored there, like so connected there that if I went back too soon, I was going to want to go home forever, like back. And it's weird. I don't even think of it as home anymore. That's the first time that I've said the word home and meant Montana for a long, long time, because I really do feel like I'm high futuristic. I'm like, I see the rest of my life in Minnesota. I do not see myself ever, ever moving back to Montana. I have no desire to go back there. As beautiful and amazing as it is, I just don't see myself doing that. But it really was, like I said, I think I resonated a lot with the discussion that you were having about your book on the Kickstarter page. And I was like, oh, this sounds exactly like what I went through and has been the best thing that I've done for myself. I don't know if you felt this way. I don't wish that it had happened any differently because I think I kind of needed to be where I was and I would not have left if everything hadn't changed all at once. Like I would not have left. And I'm glad that I gave the time as long as I did. A big part of why I stayed was I had a senior cat who was not going to make a cross country move.
This is right? exactly our thing. The only reason we moved was COVID changed everything. And we realized that all
COVID
of our
changed everything.
We weren't seeing our family and friends who were across the street. And I can see them on Zoom anywhere. And for us, we had this old, old dog, Clementine, and she wouldn't make the quarantine and the move. And we thought, well, we'll go. Maybe we'll think about going after she dies. And we thought it would be about 2 more years. And it was, she died. We got Lala's visa and we were gone in 4 months.
Yeah.
But it was almost, it wouldn't, I think if COVID hadn't happened and if everything hadn't changed like that, we would still be there. What I love about your brain that it did for you in such a generous way. Your brain said, hey, Becca, why don't you just write a book series set there?
Yeah.
Why don't you go research a book series? But it, meanwhile, your heart and soul were saying book series. We're just, we just got to get Becca over
there. We're looking at apartments. You know what I mean? Like, but it's so funny. I wasn't planning that when I left, because you're totally right. My brain was just like, well, we're going to check it out. Like, let's just maybe see. And actually, one of my friends just made a comment to me. She moved from, they live it, not in Ireland, and they moved to Ireland. And she made a comment about how one of the best things they did for themselves was go and visit for an extended period of time before they moved. And like, they intentionally had their house all set up. They intentionally had a place. They went to the neighborhood they were going to live in.
Oh, wow.
You know, all of those things, so that their family could have a known quantity for when they went there. So that when they were going, it wasn't a surprise to them that the neighborhood wasn't like a new unknown thing. It was like, no, I've been to that Starbucks. I know that street. Like, and a lot of that was what I anticipated I would be doing, was sort of like laying all of the potential pathways and seeing if I liked it. Because when I went to all these other cities, some of them I didn't stay very long in. Like, I kind of did the same thing. I'm like, well, I'll just go and check it out for a little bit. I wasn't writing books out there or anything, but I'll just go and check it out for a little bit. And then I'd be there for like 2 days and I'm like, I can't imagine myself here.
Yeah.
But as a futuristic, I could imagine myself in the place that I lived. And actually, it's funny. I realized when I got there, I'd already been imagining myself in that place and I already kind of knew. And in fact, when I drove down, it's so funny. The story is just so in election, because I'd been thinking and thinking and thinking about it for so long. And then when I finally made the decision and realized how certain I was, it was like everything happened very, very quickly. And like, I went and looked at an apartment on a Monday or a Tuesday. And I saw the apartment at 4. I filled out the application at 5 and I had the keys at 8 p.m. So like I just, and it was furnished and I just moved in. Like I had a VRBO for another like several days and I was like, no, I think I'm just going to, so I moved all my stuff from the VRBO and moved into that house. And then I started, like, I bought pans and silverware and, you know, and then I just kept living there. And I lived there until I bought this place, which is the house that I live in, because I had to sell my house in Montana.
Right. We rented a place in Wellington that we never thought we would be able to afford to live here, but we found a place and the people who were living in it were moving to the States. They were a Kiwi and American, and we bought all of their stuff. In place, all of their furniture, all of their pans, all of their KitchenAid, their towels. So it was basically like moving into a VRBO or an Airbnb and saying, oh, what do we own? Because this is all ours now, sight unseen. So let me ask you, because you made this big unstuck move and you kind of love tricked your way into doing it.
Yeah.
Does it ever just shock you? Because I realized that I spent the first 2 years living here. It's been 3 years, almost 3 years now. I spent the first 2 years going, okay, is this still okay? Is this still okay? Like, can we believe we're doing this? And apparently my wife has always been like, no, we're here. But do you ever have those little flutters of fear still?
No. And weirdly, I expected that I would, because I love Montana. And like, I very much the reason, in fact, I moved away. I actually moved to Minnesota once for grad school and I ended up moving back because I got a job offer. And I walked away from like, I was a TA. I had a full scholarship. I just walked away from it because I'm like, you know what? I really would rather be at home. And I think I recognized that like, that phase of my life was over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to let go of that, I wanted it that piece where all my family was together and I had all of those really deep connections. And that's really what connected me there. It's like all of my family, you know, was there. And then gradually everybody sort of moved away over the course of 20 years. And then once the final like people moved, it was like, I kind of had this moment of like, that phase of my life is over. And when Mikhail died, that really punctuated it, right? It was like, okay, he was the cat I got in grad school when I first started this life, and my first real apartment on my own with a full-time job, you know, like that. I immediately, when I made that move, I bought two cats, and then they subsequently both over the course of those 14 years passed away. And when Mikhail finally was like, you know, gone, I just had this moment of like, that whole phase of my life is over, and I have not been acknowledging it because I loved it so much. And I let myself stay there for probably 2 or 3 or 4 years too long, just because I really loved that phase and I didn't want it to be over. And because I am now and was at the time, I have been not in the phases, but I am single, right? And so when I was dating someone, there was always a reason to be somewhere. And then when I would stop, it's like, okay, now there's not a reason to stay here anymore, but I kept staying. And so when I came here, it was like Mikhail was gone. I was single. I had my mortgage was paid off. You know, like I had a lot of things that had lined up, and I'm definitely acknowledging my privilege in that, right? Because sure, not everybody has that capacity. Yeah. But I was not stuck because I had to be there, right? I was very much stuck because I wanted that phase of my life to still be real, and it wasn't. And so now that I've moved and I've really transitioned into this like much, much more new growth, new connection, new relationship phase of where I'm headed, I'm thinking like I'm building the stuff that 30 years from now, I'm going to look back on and be like, oh, now I'm stuck here, right? Because I've had yes, this new phase of life again. So I'm like, okay, so I have to build. And that's been the challenge of the last 2 years. And what I'm going through right now is like, I want friends in 5 years where I have a Tuesday afternoon where my friend stops by and we have coffee. Or like, you know, I have a regular rotation of my family coming to visit me or me going to visit them. And there's like a rhythm to the relationships, right? So it takes a lot to build brand new from somewhere. And I think that's part of what people are so scared of. But honestly, I left a lot behind. I mean, I'd left some relationships behind that were 20 years, 25 years in the making. And as much as I can say, like, I can keep those up, they change. They absolutely change. And it has been very hard, but I would not change the choice, like even for a second, just because I need to go through this hard stuff to make a new foundation. Cause otherwise I feel like I was just going to die slowly in that, like it was sucking all of the life out of me to be there. And there was no new growth anywhere.
That is exact. The similarities are just eerie with all of these things.
Yeah. I was like, Rachel, we should, but I knew that you were in transition and I didn't want to bug you, but I was like, when we hang out this summer, we're clearly going to have to talk.
Yes, we are. But the thing is like I don't know most or half or all or any of these things, but like, I would say probably a lot of people who feel this kind of stuck way don't get out. The one thing that's been biggest to me about learning that I can uproot and leave when society says you shouldn't do that, that's not the way we do things, is that I can do it again if I ever wanted to. Like, it's just now it's in my toolbox. It's not, it is, of course, it's a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal. But like I said, most people I see don't do this. So what do you think it was inside yourself that perhaps you have cultivated or perhaps you uncovered? I know you've done a lot of cultivation over the years. What allowed you to do it?
So there's a couple of things, and I have to be like super honest, right? I have a real close relationship with most of my family, like very, very close. And I only say most because some of them are not alive anymore. You know what I mean? So like no longer have as close a relationship, but I'm very close to the people that I care about. And I knew I was going to see them no matter what. So me staying in Bozeman wasn't actually going to make me see them any more than I was seeing them. But the other piece too, that just kind of blew my mind was like, okay, this actually made me cry a little bit. Hopefully I will be able to get through this without crying, but even if I do, it'll be okay. But once you hit 18 years old, you have spent 90% of the time with your family that you're ever going to spend with them in your life.
Ooh.
Right? Just because you don't live in the house with them anymore. And so you're going to see them at these sporadic patches. And so I made this decision. I was like, okay, I need to have a life where I don't work when I'm around my parents. Like when I go to visit my mom, or my mom comes here, or my dad is here, like I'm going to work as little as possible. And I want to be as present as I can be with them when I'm around them. But it's actually better for me to see them less through the year, because I find the quality of the time goes up significantly, rather than like what I used to go to Arizona and spend 3 months at a time, you know, with them. And I would see them less because I worked so much than I saw them this last Christmas when I was there for 9 days. Right. So I feel like there's kind of an element of like, I had to square with some things about what's true about life that I really just didn't want to square with. One of which was how little time I really have with my family versus how much time I have on my own, like how much time I spend by myself. And when I really think about what it means that I spend so much time by myself and so much of my future is going to be by myself, like I need to build a life that I don't want to escape from when my parents are gone, or like if I end up not seeing my sister and my brother-in-law and my niece as often as I want to, because I don't want to live where they live, because it's, again, it's two flights from everywhere. I love them, but good God, the East Coast. It's like, I can't get anywhere. But it really, for me, there was this big reckoning of like, my life is different than I expected. And I'm still operating on some level from old tapes of things that were telling me what my responsibilities were from like way back, that, you know, before I was really an adult. And so I had to square with how some of that affected me, and know too that like me not doing hard things wasn't going to make life any easier.
Amen.
So like it's going to be hard. And I feel like we often don't think about this. It's like, okay, I'll just use a writing example, right? Like if I get on Facebook in the morning and then I end up not writing, then I may not feel real bad today, but I'm going to feel real bad in 2 weeks or a month when my book isn't done. Mm-hmm. So like, it's going to be hard for me to not get on Facebook, sure, but it's going to be hard for me to not get my book done. So if it's going to be hard for me to be alone, then maybe I can be alone somewhere that I'm building brand new relationships intentionally. And I'm in a physical place that I like better, where the weather I like better, where I can have the kind of house that I want, because similar to you and your wife, I moved from somewhere where the housing prices are astronomical just compared to where I live now. My house, I literally sold for twice what I paid for this house. And this house is bigger than that house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job.
It's insane. Bozeman is insane. And I love it there. It was amazing to live there at the time. But in terms of like my quality of life was going down because what I needed in a home, I couldn't afford to buy. And so instead of letting that, the fact that I had bought that house, keep me there, and that it was a really good investment. Yeah, it absolutely was. And yeah, I lost some, you know, cash value just because I sold, right? It's worth more now than it was 2 years ago, sure. But so am I. Right.
Oh.
Like my time in my life is worth more than just whatever my real estate is worth. And I just, again, I feel like I learned so much in this process, which again, I'm so excited to read your book because I feel like we're going to have such similar overlapping experience.
Oh,
yeah.
I am so happy for you. Your eyes are bright. Your face is bright.
Yeah.
You just like, you can, I could feel it coming off of you in the same way that I feel like we where we live now, we can walk to 4 different cafes, 2 grocery stores, my doctor, our favorite pizza pub. The bus is at the end of the street that goes directly, and it's a 10-minute ride on the bus into town if I don't want to drive. There are beaches every direction. I can walk 2 different directions out of the house and look, climb this hill and look at the strait and the harbor it's incredible. But we did that because we chose to get unstuck. And I really, really value you sharing this with us, because the more people we hear that can do this, and what I really value about you is that you always look at things directly in the face and you say, yes, this is hard. And that sucks. And it may not be the way you want it to be, but can you move into a place that is closer to what you want? And you have done it. You don't just talk the talk. You do walk the walk.
Yeah. And I am very much a person who's like, I'm very aware of how hard it is to be in every phase of life and in every place. Right. So like, it's going to be hard no matter where I am. I might as well be hard in a place that I like living.
Yes. I
don't feel like there's any easier space for anyone. And I know a lot of people feel like there is, but a lot of that, forgive me, is just somnambulance. It's just sleepwalking. Yes. Yes. The reason it's easier is because we're not awake to some of what is actually difficult. And a lot of that, like I made a video about this on TikTok. Like, I moved into a house with 3 flights of stairs. So like, I've lost weight living in this house that I didn't realize how much I was sitting because I had a 1 floor house and I wasn't putting myself into situations where I had to be physically different than I am. And again, I know this is an extreme amount of privilege and I'm conscious of that. I think there are small ways that we can do small changes even to get unstuck, because the comfort that you feel is primarily just sleep.
Ooh. That is chills. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing this. I really value this and I can't wait to keep up with you. And thanks for everything that you do for authors. I appreciate you, Becca.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as $1 a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.